Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you got smooth drama.
All right, welcome to Smooth Drama with your host, Dick Hugger. How everybody feeling out there today? I'm doing all right. You know, aside from the fact that Kansas sold me out this weekend and busted my bracket out, other than that, I'm good. I got no worries. My bracket is just dead, so I guess that's humble pie for you. You know, I was on top of the world for a day. That's the NCAA tournament for you. Anyway, I want to hear from you. So I expect you to call me 646-929-2037. Once again, I expect to hear from you. I love hearing from you. So break me off a call, 646-929-2037. Because I want to. Anyway, I'm not going to do that. Give me a call. That's funny for no reason whatsoever. 646-929-2037. And as always, I love getting emails from y'all, good and bad, thong or no thong. So break me off email, dick@smoothdrama.com. You got something you want to talk about, whatever. You know, I love hearing from y'all. And I've gotten some interesting emails over time from y'all, and I expect that to continue. So once again, I want you to break me off an email, dick@smoothdrama.com. So, you know, we can talk about whoever, whenever, whatever. You know how we do here. We don't play none of that. And speaking of playing, you know, the aforementioned tournament, Cornell in the Sweet 16. You know, now, for those of you who don't know, Cornell is an Ivy League school. And, you know, obviously Ivy League schools don't, you know, do that well. Well, actually, the thing about Cornell, this being a good thing, them in the Sweet 16, they actually have had a state of bad news. Cornell has had a bunch of suicides. They've had like 8 or 9 suicides this year alone. And so, you know, what else, what better to cheer up a campus who reportedly had no suicides from 2005 to 2008, and then all of a sudden in 2009, they had 4 students during the fall, and at least 2 over the last couple of months. You know, you wonder what that's all about. We can suspect that it's about the pressures of college and not fulfilling expectations and whatnot, but students at Cornell, enjoy your Sweet 16 berth in the NCAA tournament. And hey, you never know. You might get into the Final 8. So that's a reason to rejoice, right? Right. Oh, well. Anyway, now, speaking of rejoicing, I read something that made me almost want to go to church. And, you know, of course y'all know I'm not a big fan of church. Not that I'm not a fan of God. I'm just not a fan of the people in church and the whole religion and the world's philosophy on love thy neighbor until you want to steal some shit from me. But anyway, there's a local pastor, and his name is David McGee, who tells his congregation at the Calvary Chapel of the Triad, you know what? It's in the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. He is trying to say, have sex. Pastor David McGee, down at the Calvary Church of the Triad in North Carolina, is promoting sex. And he's saying, I'm going to quote the Reverend, that it's unbiblical for wives to withhold sex as part of a marital power play, just as it's equally unbiblical for husbands to go outside the marriage. He talked about the concept of mutual submission, the selfless idea that a husband's body belongs to his wife and his wife's body belongs to him. And, you know, Mr. McGee even goes on to reveal that he wasn't a virgin himself when he got married. Although he did say he regretted it. But that's what I'm talking about there. That's positive. Promoting sex. Now, I know people are like, yeah, you talking about sex and marriage and whatnot. But as we know, a lot of marriages end because of the lack of intimacy. People don't want to come together and whatnot. In more ways than one, not just mentally, but physically. Obviously, we know that it's a mental issue. If you can't mentally feel the person, then you're probably checking out physically also. You know, speaking of checking out physically, what y'all know about your new job? I'm applying right now. You know, they're talking about they're bringing the scanners to the airports here in the United States. For those of you who don't know, because of the terrorist threats, if you haven't been on the planet Earth or haven't turned on your TV to anything besides reality TV, you know there's been a few terrorist attacks, fake terrorist threats, whatnot. You know, the guy who had the bomb in his drawers, whatnot. So now they're taking up security measures where they're going to scan you, swab you, or thoroughly pat you down. I understand the scanning and the patting you down. The swab, I don't know what the swab's gonna do. And the thought of getting swabbed down while you're in the, I don't know, that just seems nasty. My thing in this, though, is what do you think can happen when you're talking about the potential to be patted down? I know for me, I'm going to look for the most attractive lady, whatnot, who, if I'm going to be potentially patted down, I want to be patted down by her. So, obviously, there's probably going to be some line segregation going on. It could get kind of funny as you think about it. Most people are going to want to, if you're going to be patted down or whatnot, or swabbed down, you're probably going to want to be patted down and scanned by somebody that you deem attractive, whatnot. Now, I guess depending on the ratio or whatever and what the guards look like, it could be funny to see the line, like, there'll be an attractive guy with a long-ass line of females on his side where the unattractive, pat-down guy have, like, a line of three. And he's like, hey, you guys can check in over here. And the women are like, nope. We want to get patted down over here. I can see that happening. I know most folks think, that can't happen, but I can see that happening. I think it would be really, really funny. You know, that's why I also said that I'm wondering, how can I get that job? I mean, so we talking about free fields all day, every day, although you thought a lot of people you're not going to want to feel down. So I guess there's the pros and the cons to it. But it could be interesting. Could be a very interesting job, to say the least. I'm more interested in the scanner part because, yeah, supposedly it's going to be those scanners where everything is see-through, whatever. And I'm just saying it could be interesting. It could be an interesting job. But, of course, it can't beat out Florida. Now, y'all, long-time listeners know that I kind of have a thing for Florida. There's always something funny happening in Florida, and I can't help but talk about it. You know, from the overabundance of large snakes to serial killers who kill cats, to, you know, the woman driving in her drawers from Florida, in her astronaut, I believe she was from Florida. Anyway, there's a lot of shit that goes on from Florida. But there's actually a good job that you can apply for in Florida, and like, damn, if I lived down there, I would actually apply for this job. The rents will be, it's supposed to be posting on Craigslist and in the Miami Herald for the tanning butler position. Ritz-Carlton PR woman Michelle Payer, who invented the position in 2004, says the lucky guy, and I guess it depends on how many people go there and what they look like, but the lucky guy gets paid $20 an hour plus tips to rub sunscreen and, you know, spritz Evian on a Ritz guest. The hours, Friday through Sunday, noon to 4 p.m. at the beach and on the pool desk. The position requires a uniform, where you have an unofficial tanning butler t-shirt and a holster for carrying bottles of sunscreen. So, you know, for those interested, if you're in the Miami area or if you're looking to, I guess, move. I don't know if you necessarily don't want to move for a job in the as a tanning butler, but hell, it doesn't sound like a bad job at all. I'd be looking for it. I mean, to me, that's a great part-time job. 12 to 4, Friday through Sunday, you get to rub half-naked women. I don't know if the men part is in it. You know, I guess depending on how you feel about it, that could be good or bad. Hey, tanning butler. Get it, $20 an hour plus tips. Easy money, baby. Now, this is getting away from jobs for a minute and tans and all that, you know. Even though I am tan, I think my tan is beautiful. I read this story out of Chicago, and I thought it was funny because it's a racial story with so-called racial commentary. And as people know, if you listen to the show before, I'm in racial rehab. I got issues. You know, I'm trying to get past it all. So my racial rehab is ongoing, and every now and again, race comes up from time to time, and then I have to go back to my racial AA meetings and talk about what I can do to make things better so we can all hold hands and sing Kumbaya. No, fuck that shit. Anyway... as a Chicago police officer who is cited for a racial rant. And I guess it was an exchange between an officer in a car he pulled over at 25th and Albany Avenue on the southwest side of Chicago. And I guess it caught the eye of Police Superintendent Jody Weiss. The passengers, most of them in their 20s, said they were on their way home from the store. And they think the officer may have pulled them over because the car's windows were tinted. Anyway, there was a recording, and it was given to WGN News where the officer tells them, normally when someone tells me, why did I get pulled over, I tell them, because they're fucking black, or expletive black. And the driver responded by saying, that's prejudice, though. The passengers said they view the statement as racial profiling. The officer is later heard saying he doesn't care what the occupants are doing, adding that when the police go to court, it's overtime money for the police. Funny thing, the driver of the car, who is not African American, says he didn't feel he provoked the unidentified officer, and that maybe the officer was upset because he kept asking the officer why he was pulled over. Now, that's kind of funny, he's like, yeah, normally I pull them over because they're black. So put in any curse word you want to put in. Doesn't matter. The point is, he's saying that's normally what I do. Even though he pulled in a bunch of non-African Americans, which means basically for this story, he pulled over a whole bunch of Caucasians, I'm going to assume. I know assuming makes the ass out of you and me, but it seems very Caucasian slanted. So, the moral of the story is, what, boys and girls? Welcome to getting stopped by the police. Not that, white people haven't been stopped by the police before. But obviously, him saying that like that, which is not really a shot. I mean, obviously, I'm a black man. I know it's hard to believe that when you see me on the screen, whatnot, or hear me. I'm a black man. I've been stopped by the police a few times. Few times, once every 2-3 months or so, depending on where I'm at. No biggie. Keep your hand on the steering wheel, slowly grab that wallet and your information, and probably 9 times out of 10 you won't get shot. You gotta pull out your calm black guy demeanor when the cops pull you over. Obviously, we know that if you look like you're 2% hostile, you might get hit upside the head or worse. Yeah, you never know. Now, obviously, it's not right, but it happened. But what's worse? I read too much. I don't know. I like stories. I like talking about stuff that happens. And how you go to the movie theaters, and there's always that person in the movie theater who does all the talking. They talk. They cell phones ring in and all this other stuff. And you're like, damn, what the? Why? Well. That actually happened, where a man, Landry Bullard of Lancaster, was arrested after detectives received an anonymous tip. He had been charged with attempted, willful, deliberate, premeditated murder two counts of assault with a deadly weapon, and one count of possession of a firearm by a felon. As the stabbing happened back on February 27th during the 9 p.m. screening of Shutter Island at Cinemark 22 Theater at 2600 West Avenue in Lancaster. I asked the victim that complained about a woman near him who was that woman or that person that we talked about using the cell phone during the show. So, as she and two men were there left the movie theater. Then the two men returned a few minutes later and stabbed the victim. But the thing is, they stabbed the victim with a meat thermometer. A meat thermometer. Who the fuck carries a meat thermometer around with them in the car? I mean, unless you're a butcher, and I didn't know that butchers just like kind of have that, you know, you got that in the car. I mean, a pocket knife, Swiss Army knife, whatever, just a knife, but a meat thermometer. And all because they was mad at you because you are playing, you're talking on the phone in the damn movie. Y'all crazy. And on that note, take a slight commercial break after this message. I'll be right back.
Listen here, man. It's your boy Cam Wee. I'm just acting a fool. With my man DH. Y'all know him as. And Butter Butter Pecan. Yes, sir. Chosen.
Thank you. Welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Dick Hugger. Sitting here on Smooth Drama, enjoying the ambiance of the radio and the video. I am quite handsome, if I must say so myself. And I know I got a face that my mother loves, and that radio loves also, I think. Anyway, that was my boy Cam Wee. The special shout out. Sorry, he got his video out. Watch me. Sorry, kind of hot. You know, he got his wife beater on, trying to flex his muscles, whatever. You know, he ain't got no muscles though, man. Just in case you're listening, I'm playing. But if you're not listening, you ain't got no muscles. You ain't fly or none of that. And I'll take you out on the mic. Yeah, I said it. But if you heard that, I didn't say it. It's Tourette's. I'm tripping. No. y'all go to the site if you're not already familiar, smoothdrama.com, and we'll be posting a video up there, as well as it's posted on the Smooth Drama Facebook, as well as Smooth Drama MySpace, where you can check out my man Cam Wee, as well as check me out, you know, because once again, I am fly, I am kind of pretty, like Muhammad Ali was talking about pretty, I think, pretty for the radio. Okay, now, there are a lot of things that, you know, people take for granted, you know, we talk about technology and whatnot, and we're going into the technological age, and there are some things that I got issues with, and I think there are a few people who may have issues with you know, with the computers in the car and whatnot. Now, it's in the car now is not as easy as it used to. You know, you got the computer and all the computerized things where you have to go to the dealer and whatnot. Then I heard about a story, and this is the other thing. As we know, computers, yeah, Windows, whatnot, or any computer can just one day you're using it, and then boom, you get stuck or frozen and whatnot. And that's my fear, to be in a car and it gets frozen, or the computer reboots and your car fucking shuts down out of the blue. What the hell do you do? You know, people never look at it like that. You know, computerized cars, whatever, that's a whole different thing. And then you have the hacker issue. Like, if somebody hacked into your car and turned it off or whatever, or took control of your car. Technically, it can happen, but technically it can. Like, for instance, up in Austin, Texas, there's a hacker who shut down 100 cars remotely. There was a former employee of Texas Auto Center. He accessed their computer system to disable the online account that allows the company to deactivate the starters and activate the horns and GPS of many of the vehicles. And as the company said, they had more than 80 customers who complained that they lost work, missed school, or towing expenses and vehicle repairs because Mr. Omar Ramo Lopez, 20 years old, who, I guess, said that he jumped into their account and deactivated the starter system in many of the vehicles, and it caused the horns to not only honk throughout the night, you know, the vehicle wouldn't start. And this wasn't for people who weren't up to date on their loans. This was people who were up to date on their loans. He just, I guess, Mr. Lopez had got fired and was like, you know what, I'm going to get y'all back. And so he went and messed with other people, which is actually something that we know terrorists do, which brings me to a point on the whole, that whole hacker scene, whatnot, the fact that they have the power to, what, stop your car. Like, if you're late on the payment or there's a computer glitch and there's a glitch that says that you have made your payment or whatnot, they can stop your car from the office. That's crazy. You know, it's one thing to talk about somebody to repo your car or whatnot, but it's another to say that they can stop your car while you're driving, not allow you to go anywhere, just shut your car off. I don't know about anybody else, but that seems kind of dangerous to me. And if this guy, 20 years old, I'm going to assume that, you know, just as a disgruntled employee, he can do that. What could, you know, somebody who's motivated and has not the best intention to throw things into the whack and could access database of computerized cars all across the nation? That's havoc waiting to happen. So, you know, all the computerized cars, everybody, you got the car that does everything, you know, digitally, whatnot. You might want to think about it. You might want to think about it. Because that shit can happen to you, and an attack like that can happen to you, and there'll be nothing that you can do about it. Your car is just not going to work. Period. Crazy. I mean, it, they're talking about hackers, you know, speaking to hackers. The hackers did a little test to show, and this, I guess, was to help improve security. You know, hackers showed how a biometric passport issued in the name of a long-dead rock and roll king, for lack of a better word, y'all know who supposedly the king was, Elvis Presley, said it got cleared through an automated passport scanning system being tested at an international airport in London, England. Now, mind you, this is a doctored passport at a self-service passport machine. The hacker was cleared for travel after just a few seconds, and a picture of Elvis himself appeared on the monitor's display. Now, this test came from Adam Laurie and Jereen Van Beek, who called themselves ethical hackers. They say the exercise exposed how easy it is to fool a passport scanner with a fraudulent biometric chip. It said the Presley test was carried out at Amsterdam Schiphol Airport in September 2008, just to highlight the potential security shortcomings. Now, imagine that. They created a passport using the face and identification of a dead man, and they just went through the automated passport scanning system, and they got through. Now, of course, now they're saying that they use fingerprint scans, eye scans, and digital photographs to also in conjunction with the biometric chip to identify an individual. But that, to me, still doesn't alleviate the fact that, say that I use a singer's name that a lot of people don't know about or whatever. And I can use, I mean, I haven't committed a crime. I can use my fingerprints and my eyes. I can be that individual and not be myself. And I can still get and go anywhere. That's the point. That's kind of scary. You know, or, I mean, and these are the ethical hackers just trying to show you what can happen. Now, people think that stuff's serious. You know, that whole computer glitch thing, is it serious or is it not serious? Hey, there's, speaking of computer glitches, you know, there's a case in New York where this couple who 50 or so different times got visited by the police in the past 8 years because there was a glitch in computer records that led them over and over to Walter and Rose Martin's home in Marine Park area in by the Brooklyn Bridge, New York. Not once, not twice, 50 or so times. Which means it's probably closer to 70 or 80. But that's irrelevant. The point that there's a computer glitch and the police can go to these people's houses over and over and over and over again and not realize that they're going to the wrong place. And when they're going there beating on the door. Mind you, the couple is 82 and 83 years old. Started 8 years ago. Police are still jumping on them because of a computer glitch. meaning someone has hacked into the system and said, I live here. And the police, he'll keep chasing after whoever at that residence. 8 years. And so what happened is NYPD Deputy Commissioner Paul Brown goes there with a cheesecake in hand to personally apologize. I'm like, for me, fuck that. No, no damn apology. What the hell? What the hell am I going to do with an apology? We're talking about 50 or 60 sometimes, and y'all know how the police knock. Police probably weren't knocking all nice and gentle. They're like, boom, 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 boom. Open up, police! Spread your butt cheeks! I'm just saying. Now, you think about that for like 7, 8 years, 5, 6, 7 times a year. That could, you know, that can mess with your head a little bit. That can mess with your head a little bit. I know it would mess with mine. I'd not be that happy. Make me want to get out of the real world and be virtual, like it's Chinese. And I'm not a big video game player. You know, I really don't care. I personally, although I do like computer, obviously. I have an online talk show. And I like doing things on the computer, playing Scrabble and whatnot, and looking at my info and all the other crazy stuff I do on here, my art, whatever. But the Chinese in the virtual world, as we know, the virtual world is huge. You know, we're talking about all kinds of people who are on the virtual world. You know, living virtual lives. I mean, people with virtual property. You know, I've heard stories about people with the virtual weddings. I mean, I talked about the story where the woman went and jumped on her virtual husband for virtually cheating on her. You know, and so, as we know, the virtual world is huge. Now, over in China, the virtual world is way bigger than it is here. I mean, in the virtual world, China consumers have bested the United States. Now, obviously, there are more Chinese, you know, 2 million plus, 2 billion plus of them. But as we know, they're not as rich as the United States. But last year, we talking about in the first half of 2009, one company, the industry leader, Tencent, which operates a popular QQ instant messenger and social networking site, Qzone, they say virtual goods have become their primary source of profit. They took in over 300 million in revenue from internet value added services. In comparison, online revenue, they got 35 million. Only 35 million. Not like 35 million isn't a nice chunk of change, but when you compare advertising, you brought in 35 million. Virtual goods, you brought in $300 million. That's like some Dr. Evil shit there. $300 million. Wow. That's a lot of coin for some virtual shit. You know, I'm sitting up here like, I got to throw a dick hugger plan out there. I need to be like a virtual prostitute. You know, maybe I can be Dick Hugger's virtual escort and, you know, get me some virtual hoes, customers, and get some of that virtual money. You know, because obviously the virtual good, I'm going to guess that not all of it is in the G-rated, PG-13 rated area. And let me say this first. To my parents, I know y'all listen from time to time. If I do get into virtual prostitution, I promise to be a very classy virtual prostitute, mama. Very classy. No. No, but still, I mean, 300 million dollars. Now, conversely, making that kind of money, the people over there in the virtual goods, whatnot, they're like, you know, we're good. So this week, well, not this week, but past few months, you've been paying attention to the world news, whatnot. Google, who has speculation is swirling that they will soon announce a decision to pull out of China, or at least shut down its Chinese search engine. So, you know, 2 months ago, I guess it started 2 months ago, Google said it would no longer agree to abide by Beijing censorship rules, even if that meant shutting down its Google.cn site. And, of course, there's Chinese internet users and state media are like, yeah, go ahead. You know, now, Xinhua, who is the news agency over in China, in a signed commentary said that Google had promised when it entered the Chinese market to filter its search engine for harmful content in accordance with the law. And, you know, people are, you know, up in the air behind it, and Google is upset because they can't make the Chinese do what they want. And it's kind of funny because it goes back to that whole American arrogance. Like, you can go to somebody else's country and tell them what they can do, when they can do it, and how they can do it. And they're supposed to say, oh, yeah. But the Chinese are like, okay, you can leave. We're cool with that. You know, and because in all actuality, if you think about it, I've lived a long time. I lived a lot of my years in life without Google. I did just fine. And I'm going to assume that, you know, Google leaves China, they're going to be fine, too. I don't think they're really going to have an issue. And then they're talking about, you know, the local companies are like, yeah, because that will open up China's $1 billion search market to more local firms. You know, the biggest beneficiaries will obviously be the local firms. They have their domestic search leader, Baidu Incorporated, which also has a search advertising display system, and they have a sales and customer support team. There's also the aforementioned Tencent Holdings, who are the internet company over there, who runs the country's largest instant messaging platform. Now, you look at it, they're like, yeah, please, Google, we're going to be all right. There are 2 billion people there. And I'm going to guess, we take a rough guesstimate and whatnot, there's probably 500-600 million people who have the internet or access to the internet. You know, we of course know that there's probably poor areas where they don't have access to the internet, but I'm sure it's coming. So obviously when you talk about a fertile market for expansion and growth, you know, they're like, shit, y'all can leave. We don't want you here. We're going to be all right. Now, think about that for a minute. So I got some comments on that. But I'm going to go on a little station identification break. I'm stuck today. My words are killing me.
Together you got to be
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama. Now, I was talking before about Chinese and the whole they want Google to leave, whatnot. I mean, that's self-determination. It's something that we're supposed to be doing here. Now, obviously, I won't get too deep into it, but y'all know that we've had bailouts and whatnot, which I'm thinking is not under the tenets of what capitalism should be. Hey, if your company fucks up, you fuck up, then on to the next. You fall, you fail, the person under you just gets to come up and take that business. Looks like that's what the Chinese are doing. They're like, hey, y'all want to leave? Y'all get the step in. It'd be all good. I'm thinking. I know we're supposed to be the leaders of the free world and all that other stuff, but it seems to me Chinese are like, hey, you don't want to follow our rules. You want to leave. You want to pull out because you can't get your way. Get stepping. I'm not hearing from the Chinese, we have to bail Google out or we have to accede to Google's wishes. No. They're like, bye. And I'm thinking, we should be like that. If a business is bad, bye-bye. See you later. Don't let the door hit you. Where your mama split you, or something like that. I don't know. Kind of makes sense to me. And since we talking about international stuff, everybody be happy. Y'all know they're celebrating the 7th year anniversary of the Iraq War. All right, now we got that out of the way. We can talk about some good stuff. Speaking of good stuff, everybody knows about Bernie Madoff. It's just coming out that Mr. Madoff, who had orchestrated the multi-billion dollar bill fraud, which got him the 150-year sentence. 150 years, okay. I guess supposedly, homie got his ass whooped while he was in jail. You know, said my homie had a broken nose, fractured ribs, cuts to his head and face. And I guess he was being treated for high blood pressure and dizziness. What a shame. Bernie Madoff ruined a whole lot of people's lives, stole a lot of people's money, and got jacked up for it. I'm like, what took y'all so long? Why it took so long for this to come out? But they thought we was going to be mad or something? I'm not mad. And I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who aren't mad at whoever that great guy who will Bernie Madoff as, or great guy, whatever. Take it, bitch, and love it. Now, I like to ask questions, quote unquote ethical questions. One, I started off with something good in Florida, and y'all know I always gotta come back to Florida. In the Broward County Sheriff's Office, they're searching for two people who stole from a dead man. They're looking for a 20-year-old Anthony DeFall, and he went to the home of his neighbor, 59-year-old Raymond Barkey, and discovered his body inside the apartment. And instead of calling the authorities, Mrs. DeFall and a couple of friends, they burglarized the home, stole a safe, weapons, Barkey's truck. Now, people are outraged. They're saying, are you going to rob a man that he's dead? I have to counter. Like, why not? He's dead. He ain't going to use it. I know it may sound wrong. Y'all might think, hey, Dick, what the hell? But I'm just saying, he's dead. What he gonna do with what was in the safe? What he gonna do with his truck? I mean, now, of course, family members may have a say, and I mean, obviously, they want to steal it. I mean, inherit it. But the fact remains that, hey, he's dead. He's not going to use none of that stuff. It's a done deal. It's over. I don't know how people feel about that. For me, I think it doesn't really matter. I didn't think it was a big deal at all. And if he took some stuff, I mean, obviously, relatives would have to say, but if he didn't have relatives, open season. And what was the police going to do? Turn it in? I think not. But I could be wrong. Sort of like all that dope that they take to the evidence room. Why take it to the evidence room? Why not destroy it? But that's just me. I don't know. I could be wrong. But I just think that somebody dies, it's out there. Unless it's designated to somebody, let it ride. Just let it ride. Now, I'm always for women's issues. I support women's issues across the world. I think women have that. Oh, you have a caller.
It's called a period, asshole.
Caller, you're on the air. Caller?
Are we on the air?
Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, I'll be
How
damned.
You doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm fine.
What
you want to talk about?
Well, I guess just random. Are we unrated?
We're unrated, sir.
Oh, good. I just want to talk about random bullshit.
Okay.
Who's my chance for it, Dad?
What?
I don't know. The voices in my head are speaking again.
Okay.
I'm a little bit bitsy. Excuse me.
All right.
So,
you have a question,
what's the topic on the air tonight?
Well, right now, I'm talking about women.
I'm sorry, you're going to have to repeat that again.
I'm talking about women's issues, sir.
Well, all women, yeah, don't you just love the frickin' the periods they get on there? They call it PMS, putting up with men's shit. Then they send you to the store when they got their frickin' period, and you got to buy them all these damn crazy maxi pads. Maxi pads overnight with wings. Gotta love it.
Then they hop on their menstrual cycle and your ass down.
Yeah. First thing you hear is, bitch. Yeah.
Okay. All right, well, thank you for your call, sir.
I just gotta say that it is fun to sit there and talk about it. But at the same time, I just have one thing to say in closing before I go, and that is, I forgot my medication, so just bear with me. Okay, bye bye.
All right, bye bye. Thank you for your call. Alrighty then. A testimony to never, ever forgetting your medication. Yeah. Anyway, what I wanted to say real quick. Afghanistan. A woman who had her nose and ears cut off because she shamed her masters, her in-laws, supposedly. This is one of those things that goes on and on. Oh, we have another caller. Okay. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello, just tying up the line for people that forgot their medication.
Yeah. I think you're a tad bit too late for the people who forgot their medication. I don't think any amount of medication would be enough for that individual. But I thank you for calling. Caller, anytime you want to call and talk about TMS and periods, hey, you can come on, I guess. Just, you know, if you want to take your medicine or smoke some weed or something.
Something random, right?
Yeah. And with that, you know, you kind of have to close the show. Want to thank everybody for listening. We want to wish my co-host, partner in crime, Butter Pecan, good health. She starts feeling better. Thursday, we're announcing we have an interview. Unconfirmed yet, but it's coming. We do have an interview with Jay Hostile. And we look forward to having y'all listen to the show. And of course, like I said, I want to hear from y'all because I love y'all and I try to speak for y'all. And in closing, take your medication, please. And it was the area code that's nowhere near me, so I guess I don't have to worry about them breaking into my house or drunk driving in my neighborhood. Don't drive, homie. You and all the voices in your head. Don't don't drive. With that, I'm Dick Hugger. I'm out.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth. Drama. Smooth.